नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कल्पं जुहुयाच्चित्तौ धम्मनस्यार्थविभ्रमे मनो वैकारिके हुत्वा धम्मायां जुहोत्यनौ विकल्पं Discrimination between good and bad, one person and another, one nation and another, and all similar discrimination. Juhuyat, one should offer as oblations. Chittau, in the fire of consciousness, Tam, that consciousness, Manasi, in the mind, Arthavibhrame, the root of all acceptance and rejection, Mana, that mind, Vaikarike, in false ego. Identification of oneself with matter. Kutva, offering as oblations. Tam, this false ego. Mayayam, in the total material energy. Juhoti, offers as oblations. Anu, following this principle. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse describes how a yogi can become free from material affection. Because of material attraction, a karmi cannot see himself. Jnanis can discriminate between matter and spirit, but the yogis, the best of whom are the bhakti yogis, want to return back to Godhead. The karmis are completely an illusion. The jnanis are neither in illusion nor in positive knowledge, but the yogis, especially the bhakti yogis, are completely on the spiritual platform, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Thus, a devotee's position is secure. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. Others, such as jnanis and hatha yogis, can only gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying their material discrimination on the platform of psychology and nullifying the false ego, by which one thinks, I am this body, a product of matter. One must merge the false ego into the total material energy and merge the total material energy into the supreme energetic. This is the process of becoming free from material attraction.
Hare Krishna. It's my great honor and my pleasure to be with all of you today. Special gratitude to His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj. By his example, by his wisdom, by his incredible scholarly translations of the Goswamis and Vedic literatures, he is inspiring deep devotion in millions of hearts all over the world. Thank you, Maharaj. And to Sumitra Krishna Prabhu, our beloved temple president, thank you for your kind, generous reception. My godbrother, Tattvavit Prabhu, A.G. Mohanji and Indira, and to each and every one of you, thank you for being here today. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text 43. In this story, Narada Muni has just narrated the life of Prahlad Maharaj, who at the age of 5 had such deep faith in Krishna. Due to his satsang, his association with the great sage Narada Muni, while he was in the womb of his mother, he heard the Bhagavad Katha of Narada Muni with a very simple and innocent heart. It established within him such deep faith in Krishna. He realized that he wasn't his material body or mind, that he was an eternal soul, and that the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhutasam. And just as every part of the body serves the whole body, similarly, every part of God, it is our nature, constitutionally, to be the servant of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, established as a foundation these most profound philosophical truths on the basis of a single verse, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das, that we are all eternally the servants of Krishna. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yogridati Kaman. That there is one supreme eternal, and there are also many, many eternals. And the many eternals, the jivas, are eternally dependent upon the one supreme eternal. When we understand this truth and harmonize our desires, aspirations, activities, thoughts, and words on this principle, then we are on the path of the highest liberation. Bajahuremana Sri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanada Vindare. The great poet and Acharya Govindadas prayed in this way. My dear mind, please engage yourself in remembering and serving the lotus feet of Sri Nandanandana. Because in that state, you will be fearless. There are so many things to fear in this world. Fear of humiliation, disease, loss of property, death, loss of loved ones. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. This world for everyone. On this physical level, there is danger at every step. Govindadas prays, Edana yovana putra parijana ite kyachitara pitire kamala dala jala jivana talamala bajahun hari padani tire. That everything, my body, my wealth, my family, what is the nature? Like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. At any moment it will be gone. Bajahun hari padani tire. So let me take shelter of the Supreme Eternal, the cause of all causes, the ultimate shelter for everyone, Krishna. So these are some of the teachings received in essence by Prahlad in the womb of his mother. And his father, Hiranyakashipu, tried to persecute him, even to murder him, because he could not control him. Such a difference between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. The whole philosophy of Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas could be understood in this concentrated form of the example of these two personalities. Hiranyakashipu had physical power beyond comprehension. He had attained mystic perfections of the yoga process. He could perform miracles. He had unbelievable intelligence, even of scripture. He was the controller of the vast portion of the whole universe. He had prestige, wealth, power beyond imagination. But he was never satisfied. He was always in fear of losing what he had and always desperately needing something more. Krishna tells in Gita that trying to satisfy our material desires is like putting fuel on fire. It only makes the fire burn hotter and stronger. So here was Hiranyakashipu. He had everything and beyond that you could imagine. But he could not control his own little son. And his son loved him. He was a well-wisher. He was respectful, gracious in every way. But because he could not control him, it drove him mad. Whoever you are, Srila Prabhupada gives an example of how material nature is there to frustrate everyone. He gives the story of a tiger who is the king of the forest. No animal can stand before the tiger. But yet, a little tiny bird flies on the back of the tiger. And wherever the tiger goes, the little bird is singing. He's singing a song, which the translation is, "The tiger is coming, the tiger is coming." It sings very sweetly. But every animal in the forest, when they heard the bird singing, "The tiger is coming," they run away. So wherever the tiger goes, there's no animals to eat. Nothing. He's starving. He's the king of the animals. Everyone else is eating nicely. But he can't find anything or anyone. He's in total anxiety. And he could swallow that little bird within a second. But the bird's on his back. He's right on top of him, but he can't get to him. If he rolls on the ground, the bird just flies and then goes back in the back and then goes up and down. And everywhere he's going, the tiger is coming. The story of this analogy is that whoever we are, material nature will frustrate us. One way or another. As long as we want to be the controller. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichchati. Srila Prabhupada explained that this was the peace formula presented in Bhagavad Gita. There's no possibility of real peace, shanti, unless we understand that the Supreme Truth, or Krishna, is the proprietor of everything, sarvalokameshwara. Whatever we have, our intelligence, our abilities, our wealth, our property, our families, we are the caretakers on behalf of God. We are not the proprietors. And that ultimately everything is meant for the service and the pleasure of Bhagavan, of Lord Krishna. And Surada Sarvabhutanam, we could have complete faith, like little Prahlad, innocent faith, that Krishna is the supreme benefactor and friend of everyone. Ultimately, all the knowledge of all of the mantras and philosophical studies of all the literatures are meant to bring us to the point of this very simple, innocent faith in Krishna. Because only when we have this faith can we take shelter. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame bhamye prapadyante maya metha tarantite. This material energy consisting of three gunas, modes, very difficult to overcome. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This material nature is Krishna's energy. We all know how goodness, passion, and ignorance can overcome us from within and without. But one who takes shelter of me, Krishna says, can easily cross beyond it. The example is given that material existence is like an ocean, an endless ocean. An ocean that has no shores and no bottom. And we're in the middle of that ocean. And we're trying to get out. There's sharks and whales and timangillifish, and it's sometimes warm and sometimes freezing cold, and sometimes it's a nice sunny day, and sometimes it's massive storms and cyclones. What is the possibility on our own of swimming across this ocean. It is impossible. But for one who takes shelter of the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the controller of material nature, the entire quantity of water in the ocean of material existence is reduced to the quantity that is contained in a small hoofprint of a calf. That was Prahlad. Although so small, he had such innocent and pure faith in the words of his guru, Narada Muni. He was meditating, remembering Smaranam, Lord Krishna. Like a baby child is depending on his or her mother, that is how we should learn to remember and cry out Krishna's holy names. So Prahlad, even though he was being thrown in pits of serpents, thrown from the top of mountains, thrown into the oceans, thrown into blazing fire, he was always peaceful, always happy, and always in a state of compassion. He never hated his father. He never wished anything bad for his father. He felt sorry for his father. He's just a little boy, and he's seeing the most powerful king, that he was just a diseased soul, diseased by avidya, ignorance. And Prahlad was always trying to help him. Hiranyakashipu would ask Prahlad, "What is the best thing you learned in school?" And Prahlad took every opportunity to speak Bhagavad Dharma to help his father. All he had to say is mathematics. And his father would have protected him and been proud of him and given him all objects of pleasure for the rest of his life. That's all he had to do, is just say history. But instead, he told his father that anyone who's like you, who's stuck in the deep, dark well of material existence, who thinks your body is yourself and those things in relationship to your body belong to you, is in a suffering, ignorant condition. You should go to the forest and worship the Supreme Personality of God. Terrible. His father. Why would he tell him that? That was the compassion of Prahlad. So Prahlad was a devotee who was free of all fear and anxiety because he was taking shelter of the Lord, who he recognized as the supreme controller of all controllers. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigra Anadir Adir Govinda Saravakaranakara. And Hiranyakashipu had everything material, but he was stuck in his ahankar, in the misconception of Janasya Moho Yamaham Mameti, that I am the proprietor and this body is me. So in the end, Narasingha Dev came to rescue Prahlad. And then Prahlad was made the king. And what a great king he was. But still, even though he was now in this highest position, he was so humble. Not too far from here in Melkote, there is Yoga Narasingha Temple. And it was around that place that Prahlad, who was now king, he was praying that because of me, my father had to die. Just because of me, to protect me, my father had to die. He wasn't thinking that my father was a demon and I was always trying to be compassionate and nice to him. He was seeing it from a very humble perspective. If it wasn't for me, my father would still be alive. He was feeling bad about himself. You see, this type of humility is higher than peace, because it's based on love. So Lord Narasingadev appeared in this form, Yoga Narasingha, and told Prahlad, it's not because of you. He was such a demoniac person, I came to deliver the world by killing him. It was his karma, he had to die. But because of you, he was liberated. If it wasn't for your prayers, then he would be in the most hellish conditions for all the sinful things that he did and all the harm and miseries he caused others. Because of you, he is liberated. The Lord appeared just to make Prahlad happy. So in this story we are reading now, Prahlad is the king. And he takes some of his very confidential associates with him to travel through the forests and other lands specifically to meet saintly people and learn from them. Now, so many times we meet people who are very accomplished, who are very learned, who are very influential. And most times when you meet really successful people like that, whoever you are, even if you're a Swami, most of the time you just sit and listen to them. Yes? Because they really think they know everything. It's the nature. When we have much, we think we know much. But here is Prahlad, the absolute truth, Paramatma, Parameshwara, appeared as Lord Narasingadev just out of his love for his devotee. There's entire chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam about Prahlad and so many other Puranas too. And when he was only 5 years old, he instructed his classmates, Komara Achadit Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatan Iha, beginning with, now that you are very young children, this is the time to take to Bhagavad Dharma before you get all entangled in all sorts of misconceptions and attachments. So what he spoke when he was 5 years old, even the greatest pundits, scholars, rishis, paramhamsas are learning from. Even today, yugas later, that is Prahlad. But the nature of a great soul is they never think they're great. To set an example for others, and also out of the genuineness of their own heart, such souls like Prahlad left the comforts of their kingdom to look for saintly people to associate with and to hear from and to serve. On the bank of Godavari River in Kovur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Bhagavan, Parameshwar, he is personally and humbly asking questions to Sri Ramananda Rai.
Although Ramananda Rai was from a lower caste,
and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was from the highest Brahmin caste.
Although Ramananda Rai was married,
and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the crest jewel of sannyasis.
Although Ramananda Rai was a government servant,
and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a world preacher, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inquiring from Ramananda Rai, because Grihe tako, vane tako, sata hari pole tako, suke duke bulo nako, vadane hari nam kodode, gai goda madhu sware. This is the message of Lord Chaitanya.
Whether you are living with a family,
with an occupation, or whether you're a swami in the jungle, if you're chanting the holy names of the Lord, if you're always remembering and taking shelter of the Lord, you will be free from all the happinesses and distresses of this world and qualified to become a guru for everyone. You just repeat the divine message of the Gita, the Bhagavad, as the Lord has given us.
So among those questions, Lord Chaitanya said, what is the greatest of all miseries?
And this most liberated soul who is tasting the most intimate rasas of loving relationships between Radharani, Krishna, and gopis, he said, to be without the association of devotees is the only suffering that I know. The Gita explains that great souls, they take such happiness discussing Krishna together.
So Prahlad Maharaj went out of his comfortable kingdom to wander the forest looking for saintly people. Saintly people are looking for him, and he's looking for them.
And as he's traveling, he comes upon an avadut. This avadut, materialistic people just thought he was some sort of crazy fellow, because he seemed to be acting like that. He was just laying on the ground, covered with dirt, and wasn't saying anything to anyone.
We read in the Bhagavatam that even Sukadeva Goswami, common people used to harass him. They thought he was some kind of dumb person. He hardly talked. He didn't put on clothes. He just kind of walked around. The common people would ridicule him, make fun of him.
Rishabhdev, who is the Supreme Lord, an avatar, he was also like an avaduta.
People used to throw things on him. They used to spit on him. They used to pass urine on him. Common people can be so ignorant. So this avaduta was just laying on the ground in the forest, not saying anything to anyone, not really looking at anything or anyone.
But it takes one to know one. Prahlad understood that this person is self-realized. I want his association. And Prahlad asked him a question. King Prahlad.
He said, you are laying on the ground. You're not wearing any clothes. You're covered with straw and dust.
It seems like you don't even, where are you going to get anything to eat because you're just laying here all the time?
But still, you're kind of fat. How is it that you're fat? And you're just laying like a python on the ground.
Can you explain this to me? He asked a simple question because he knew he would get a profound answer. Now this Avadhut, he was behaving like this because he didn't want to associate with materialistic people who were pursuing material enjoyment, because he's already been through all that. There's a famous story. Srila Prabhupada was in a train, and a man ran up to him and said, "Swamiji, give me blessing." Srila Prabhupada saw that he just wanted some material thing, and he was demanding blessings. You don't get blessings by demanding. Tadvati pranipatena pariprasnena seva. When we're actually humble, and we're offering respect, and we're eager to hear, and we're eager to serve, then we don't have to ask for blessings. When we please great personalities by those qualities, then Krishna manifests his blessings, and they just flow from the hearts of those great souls upon us. And those blessings are precious. But even if blessings come, if we don't have the proper attitude, we cannot receive them. H.E. Mohanji was telling me yesterday, according to Ayurveda, the Agni of digestion is so important for health. Because otherwise, if you eat nutritious food but you can't digest it, none of the nutrients affect you. They just come in and out. So similarly, even if the great soul's blessings are coming upon us, unless we have this humility, this eagerness to serve, and this eagerness to hear, those blessings just kind of come and go, and we cannot digest them. We get so little benefit. So this Avadhut was not accustomed to talk to anyone. But he saw, here is the emperor. Here is the king of the world. And even though he has so much, he so genuinely wants to hear. He's such a devotee of the Lord. He actually spoke. And he told a little of his life story, even though Prahlad didn't even ask him about that. He said, "I've lived in so many ways in my life. I've seen it all. I've lived through it all. Sometimes I'm dressed like a royal king with fine clothes and sleeping on soft beds in beautiful palaces. And other times, I'm living in the forest without it, just clothed in some straw or just the four directions. And I'm eating whatever roots or berries or whatever just happens to come into my mouth. He said, "In the world I have seen so many people wasting their lives trying to find happiness through prestige and wealth and sense enjoyment." He said, In my travels, I learned something from the honeybee. Don't want to speak over that. The honeybee is working very hard day and night, going from flower to flower to flower, picking up little pollens and bringing it back to the beehive. Whole life is just all day, just
collecting pollen and bringing it back, going to another flower, collecting it, bringing it back, going to another flower, collecting it, bringing it back.
And then a beekeeper comes and takes the whole hive away. What is the honeybee worked his whole life and it's all taken away? Said, similarly, I see in this world, people are working so hard for prestige, for fame, for wealth, for property. But ultimately, either the greed of another person or environmental circumstances or time and death will take everything we have worked all our life away from us.
He explains the three miseries of material existence, adiatmika, adidaivika, adibhautika. Miseries caused by one's own body and mind. Miseries caused by other living beings. And miseries caused by nature's environmental changes. No matter who we are, as long as the ego makes us think that we are the enjoyer, that we are the controller, we have to suffer. This is ahankar.
He gave the example of a python. He said, I learned something from a python. A python just lays in one place and doesn't even move, and somehow or other food goes into his mouth. How is that possible? He said, so that's what I do. I just lay here. And whatever Krishna wants to provide, I'm happy. And whatever Krishna doesn't provide, I'm happy. In other words, if he's explaining, if one is happy within his own self or her own self, one is happy in all situations. But if one cannot find that happiness within our own selves, then one cannot find happiness in any situation. And whatever little happiness we find, it's unsustainable.
He said, in my wanderings around birth after birth throughout this world, I have seen people are so attached to sensual pleasures. The pleasures of sex life, but never satisfied. And through this effort of trying to find peace, happiness, fulfillment, through these physical and mental experiences, one completely is distracted from where real happiness is. And he gives an example. It's a wonderful example.
I would like to tell you the example. There's a deer. And the deer is looking for water.
And right next to the deer
is a deep well with pure nectarine water. But the well is covered with some grass on the top.
So the deer runs away from the well, is looking for water everywhere and anything and everywhere else, just searching, searching, searching for water.
But the water's right next to him, just covered by a little grass. So similarly, Krishna tells in the Gita, one who takes pleasure within, who rejoices within, who finds happiness within, is a person of true intelligence. Ultimately, we are all looking to love and be loved. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrite sharjana tishtati. Krishna is within our heart. And the jivatma is seated right beside Krishna. But the little grass covering of ahankar, the false ego, makes us forget that we are by nature ananda, blissful.
that the Supreme Lover and the Supreme Beloved is with us always.
And we're looking here, there, and everywhere else for that happiness. And constantly being kicked by material energy, birth after birth after birth. So he said, for me, I don't run around looking for happiness anymore. I'm happy just laying here. Hari Hari. And if Krishna wants to send me something, I'll eat it. If he doesn't send anything, I don't need it. I'm happy with Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was a king who had everything. And in his humility, he's thinking, I want what you have. And the Avadhuta's thinking to Prahlad, I want what you have. Obviously, he didn't want his power as a king. He wanted his love for Krishna. So in this way, they are honoring and respecting the love within each other's hearts. And in today's verse, the Avadhut is explaining yesterday's verse. Different people are of different mentalities. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discriminations. He's describing here that everyone has their own unique, different mentality. Because the ego, what an incredible creation. How many unlimited living beings are there in this tiny little universe that we're living? There's 8,400,000 species of life. We see how overcrowded Chennai is with traffic jams. And Mumbai is even worse. And if you go to London, you go to New York, Los Angeles, all these wealthy people. I was with some very, very wealthy, powerful, influential people who live in Beverly Hills just a few days ago. And their house cost millions and millions of dollars. And they're living next door to Hollywood stars and industrialists of great proportions, famous people. This is the place where really, really wealthy, prestigious people live. And he said, there's so many rats in Beverly Hills. One person got a car that cost like hundreds and thousands of dollars, but it doesn't work. Because at night, the rats come and eat the wires in the car. And this happens so many times, then he has to get the car fixed. Special car, imported, very, very costly, very fast. But it happens so many times that now he has to drive his car so many miles away and rent a garage in the city for people to store it. And then somebody, he has to have a driver go and pick it up and bring it to his house so that the rats don't eat the wires. You can't bribe a rat. It's beyond control. And they said they have this beautiful home. And the rats.
They live inside the walls.
And they're into entertainment. They make movies and stuff. And they have this big screen, the whole wall, and they have a theater in their home where they watch and show movies. And the rats in the walls eat the wires. So the television and the screen never works because of the rats. So they hired the world's best exterminators, people who, you know, free your house from rats. And they went on a vacation, and they gave the keys, and they gave a lot of money. And these people were like spraying and doing every kind of technological science for getting rats. For weeks, they came back. They turn on the television. Doesn't work. The rats ate it. So they call a better exterminator, and the other exterminator's going and working hard, and you know they're paying a lot of money. And the rat's still there. So finally, this topmost exterminator person, that's the person who gets rats out of your house, he said, I have a solution for you. It is the only solution. Now, I really, Swamis like stories like this. He said, the only solution there is for you. He said, it's impossible to catch this rat. The solution is, give the rat a name and make him your pet. It's like that bird on the tiger's back. Everyone, no matter what we have, there's always some disturbance.
Param drisva nivartate. But if we experience something higher, if we experience the ananda, the bliss of the soul, if we experience the sweetness of Narayan or Krishna, apuryamana matala pratishtam, material nature is still going to be whatever it is. If we're like, if our happiness within is like a little pond, then anything that comes into it is going to really disturb it or elate it. But if the happiness within is like an ocean, then whether very wide, deep rivers during monsoons are flowing into us, or whether during the dry season hardly anything at all is flowing into us, we notice it, we deal with it, but it doesn't really affect us because we're experiencing something so great and deep within ourselves. Krishna is so inconceivable in his creation, which is just a fraction of Krishna's leelas in the spiritual world are infinite, unlimited, forever. And Krishna's creation of this material world is so inconceivable that every living entity has his or her own personality. There's so many people, but how many bacterias and how many other living entities, insects, animals, trees, plants, everyone has their own specific state of consciousness. The Avadhuta is explaining that he's given up this futile effort of criticizing someone and praising someone else. He's beyond that. Now he only is looking to see everyone's welfare. just like a loving parent to a child. The parent may be naughty. I mean, the child may be naughty. Usually they're naughty because their parents are naughty. But the child may be naughty, or the child may be very well behaved. Yes? But because the parent loves the child, either way, the parent, that's a detail, well behaved or not well behaved. The parent is simply seeking the welfare of the child. And when we actually connect with love for Krishna and we become an instrument of Krishna's love, Surata Sarva Bhutanam, Krishna is the well-wishing friend of everyone. He gave Hiranyakashipu liberation. Even though Hiranyakashipu hated Krishna, hated Vishnu, still he was liberated because Prahlad prayed for him. So when we develop a connection with Krishna, we become a servant, an instrument of the grace of that ever-well-wisher of everyone. And now he's explaining how we can actually attain that mentality. We have to free ourselves from ahankar, or the false ego. And in this verse, text 43, he's telling the process to see everything in relation to the large picture. One great acharya explained that we become so obsessed with the problems and the disappointments and the successes and the enjoyments of our little life, and even a little part of our life. How many things do we become upset with? And it really deranges our mentality. And we know in a couple weeks, we won't even remember it because it's so insignificant. Yes? Yeah, we become so disturbed by it. Sometimes there's crises that actually affect our life. But most of the things we're frustrated about are just little things. Like you're in a traffic jam. And the person in front of you is not moving. And you're... How many traffic jams have you been in like that? And you'd be really disturbed. How many of those instances do you remember today? They're insignificant. Somebody says something, somebody does something. We become disturbed by so many little things. And from the point of view of a self-realized soul, everything's a little thing in this life. The example is this. This lifetime of ours is like a single point that's marked by a freshly sharpened pencil. Yes, you sharpen a pencil and make a point on a paper. It's just a little dot. And that little dot is on a line, a pencil line of millions and millions and millions of dots connected together that extends on the plane into eternity. Yes, that line extends into eternity. And the lifetime we're in with this little body that we're living in is just a little dot on that line of lifetimes. And yet we're thinking, this is all in all. Why is God doing this to me? But if we see things in the perspective of the larger reality, we understand that we're eternal souls. We've gone through millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. And none of the joys or sorrows do we remember anything of today. What is really important? We can get off this line forever. If we just take shelter of Krishna, if we just see beyond the ridiculous confines of the false ego, making me just think that I am this body and I am this person and I want things to go the way I expect them to go. And if people don't cooperate with me, and if circumstances don't cooperate with me, there's a big problem in this world. And I'm not going to let this happen. Either I'm going to get depressed, or I'm going to fight. But if we see the whole picture, like Prahlad, like this Avadhut, let me just take shelter of the Lord. Let me just serve the Lord. By seeing our own identity in all the circumstances coming in our life in reference to our false ego, and seeing our false ego in reference to the entirety of material energy. What is the significance of our little false ego when we see the whole cosmic manifestation of material existence? And we see the entire cosmic manifestation of material existence, which includes our little pencil point of a false ego within it, in relationship to the cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam, Krishna. And with humility, we take shelter of Krishna. Then all our problems are solved. Then our only problem is to see other people's problems. And out of love and compassion, trying to help them. That is bhakti. That is what is being taught by the Avadhuta to Prahlad Maharaj. And by the grace of Sukadeva Goswami, who's also Avadhut, he's also speaking to a king, Parikshit. It's very interesting. He's telling a story which is very similar to the setting of him. And through that narration, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we are all right there, hearing it. Because transcendental sound vibration is such. It's not an imagination, it's a reality. Transcendental sound is reality. When you're reading Bhagavad Gita with a submissive, humble, eager heart, then the fact is you are standing right on the chariot beside Arjuna hearing Krishna speak. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam with that eagerness and that humility, then we are sitting among the sages beside Parikshit hearing Sukadeva Goswami speak. Today we are sitting right next to Prahlad Maharaj as he's hearing the Avadhut Brahman speak to you and me. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru, wanted to give this blessing to the whole world. That's why we're so eager to distribute these books and to live by these books. Thank you very much.